Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. On yesterday's show, I began a discussion on the importance of the Word of God for our culture. And that is, we live in a time, and a very compelling time, in which our culture is on the brink of something decisively new to occur. We are at the brink in the sense that we can continue to tumble downward or spiral more and more out of control until there is no longer any way that we can attempt to recover a self-definition as Americans, and for that matter, as believers, too. Something is different. Something is very different in our culture. And there seems to be a growing apathy toward who persons are individually and towards society as a whole. Something has happened, and I do believe it has to do with the abandonment of the Word of God in our lives. I'm not talking about the abandonment of church or of religious activity. You know as well as I, there is a great deal of religious activity afoot today or abroad today. There's a great deal of religious behavior going on today, a great deal of what is commonly called spirituality. But what I am talking about is very different. I'm not talking about Christianity per se. I am talking about a true devotion and worship of God, as is denoted in the scriptures. We do not look abroad today at the behavior of the professing ones who say and do not. We look to the scriptures as our yardstick. And today we are going to be studying from the book of Amos, or from the prophecy of Amos. There is a very compelling message, several, in fact, compelling messages contained in the book of Amos that would give us an understanding as to what is going on in our own time. Amos contains many significant timeless messages for us. And so let me say it at this point that the book of Amos is a prophetic writing of 9 chapters containing chiefly the announcement of judgment upon the northern kingdom of Israel because of her social injustices, moral degeneracy, and apostasy. The prophet foretells not only the coming dissolution of Israel, but also the expectation of judgment upon the surrounding nation. Amos sees justice and ethical conduct between men as the foundation of society and maintains that worship by a people whose lives are characterized by selfishness, greed, immorality, and oppression is an abomination to God. The principle with which Amos insists upon is that the external practice of religion, divorced from right ethical conduct, is unacceptable to God. The people are deceived in believing that perfunctory religious observances, while their lives are filled with selfishness, greed, and gross immorality, will provide them security from the consequences of divine judgment. And with a touch of irony, the prophet invites the sinful people who have been accustomed to make a great display of their religious enthusiasm. Amos says, come to Bethel, that is the house of God, and transgress. To Gilgal, and multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes every 3 days, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and proclaim free will offerings and publish them. For this pleaseth you, O you children of Israel, saith the Lord Yahweh, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. The prophet insists that religion and morality are inseparable. There can be no absolute separation between worship and conduct, between religion and life. Quote, I despise your feet, and I will take no delight in your solemn assembly. Yea, though you offer me your burnt offerings and meal offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let justice roll down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Chapter 5, verses 21 to 24, unquote. God declares here that he considers worship, divorced from right conduct, an abomination. The nation's unprecedented prosperity and luxury, together with their sinful indulgences, ease, and idleness, were indicative of national decay and moral depravity. Israel, as well as Judah, is denounced in chapter 6 as living in sinful self-security, satisfied in their present state of wantonness and revelry, oblivious to the approaching judgment. Quote, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion, and to them that are secure in the mountain of Samaria. Chapter 6, verse 1, unquote. Their condition is characterized here as one of carnal security. The city of Samaria believed itself impregnable. Thus, in their pride, they, quote, put far away the evil day, unquote. While both Israel and Judah ignored the inevitable judgment and lived at ease in their false self-security, sin multiplied and abounded in their capital. Amos 1, chapter 1, opens in a very interesting manner. We read the words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake, when Uzziah was king of Judah and Jeroboam, the son of Joash, was king in Israel. I want you to bring to your attention the first part of verse 1. Excuse me. Which reads the words of Amos. In the Hebrew, it is the word of Amos. Amos' name means burden or load. And the Hebrew word here for word is the Hebrew word debar. D-B-R are the consonants in Hebrew, but we say debar. And this is a very interesting word because it means activity or event. We read that Amos saw words. Devar is a very interesting term because it means that objects or events that are addressed. With Devar, a word contained or unleashed an event, it consequently was filled with the power and strength either of this event or of the object it named. The word contained the essence of this object. Now, Devar also means unity of address and action. Also in Devar, the word carries within itself the unity of incarnative and predictive elements. These two are addressed and contained as well as dynamic event. In other words, Amos is dealing with act or the connection between act and result. Amos observes that Yahweh reacts to human behavior. Indeed, in chapter 1, Amos tells us that Yahweh's sovereignty extends to all nations. And so God addresses, in Amos chapter 1, crimes against humanity. And then he becomes more specific because after Yahweh explicates that he is in control over crimes against humanity at large, he comes back and states that he will deal or address Israel because of her sin. God, in other words, sovereign over all. One of the reasons why I constantly say it is important to go back to the Word of God because of this concept of crimes against humanity is contained within the scriptures, because Yahweh sees the behaviors of nations and kingdoms and governments, both their overt and covert activities, that which is done in the light and that which is done in the darkness, seemingly without the perception or awareness of any other entity. Yahweh sees all. We read in the divine documents that there is nothing hidden which will not be made known. What is done in the darkness shall be shouted from the rooftops. In other words, there is no human behavior or activity or clandestine agreements that will not be made manifest by God. See, we have been given a very narrow view of what human life is. Our perceptions have been purposely narrowed by culture and by government. Our perceptions have been manipulated and paid for, and our perceptions have been marketed to us. In other words, we have been told, we have been trained or brainwashed in what to believe or accept as truth and as relevant for our lives. Most of it has to do with training persons to believe themselves inept or without the ability to be strong within themselves and to have a purpose that comes from themselves other than that which is vouchsafed to us from the state. And so individuals are deliberately led into being weak. In the day of Amos, we have a similar situation. People have become satiated by their self-indulgence. And talking about professing believers who live within a religious culture, they were unaware of their own moral degeneracy. Their religious behavior and conduct were such that everything was empty or characterized by empty formalism. Amos was a shepherd from Judah who goes to the northern kingdom because God called him. And God gave him this debar, this word. Notice in chapter 1, the word Amos saw words. So, and the Hebrew word for saw is kezah, kezah. It is a verb in what we call the cal perfect, that is completed action. Amos saw these words as events that would be unleashed upon the people of God. We are speaking of the Word of God as alive and powerful. We're speaking of the Word of God as a supernatural, irresistible, compelling force that, when unleashed, will bring to fruition everything that it contains. It is an irresistible power. And so God called this person who says that he was a pincher of sycamore fruit. And because of the Dabar Yahweh, or the Word of God, he was set in this new situation in which his words would become a witness against the behavior of the confessing or professing believing ones. Their culture was dying, and they could care less that their culture was dying. It was brought to my attention yesterday that an individual who was the head of a large mega church had been found in the room overdosed from drugs. Everything deserves our closest scrutiny. Paul wrote, test everything. Because an individual is at the head of a mega church does not somehow make him different from the rest of us. All must come and bow beneath the foot of the cross. The divine documents tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The divine documents contain within them the power to transform and heal lives. Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There is help for all of us. Amos goes to the northern kingdom. He speaks the word that God has given him to speak. So compelling is his message that he is there confronted by Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, In chapter 7, verse 10, we read, "Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying: Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile, and it most certainly did, away from their native land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, 'Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and do your prophesying there. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because it is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. Amos answered Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor a prophet's son, but I was a shepherd. And I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, "Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, "Do not prophesy against Israel, and stop preaching against the house of Isaac. Therefore, this is what the Lord says: Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourselves will die in a pagan country. And Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land." Terrible, hard words from Amos. And Amaziah was a victim of self-generated self-deception. It is interesting that Amaziah did not understand self-deception, because self-deception is a process of denying or rationalizing away the relevance, significance, or importance of opposing evidence and logical argument. But Amaziah did say something very interesting in chapter 7 at the end of verse 10. He said, "The land cannot bear all his words." In the original Hebrew, this word "bear" refers to the cubic capacity of vessels, or ships, as it were. Amaziah states, that so weighty and compelling was the word of God that the land itself could not contain or seize the great power of this word that Amos spoke. That the land was fractured and frail. And so the word of God alighted upon it, and its degeneracy with a power that was indeed forceful. And Amaziah understood this, and yet he chose to ignore this reality. Amos shared his pedigree and who he was, but because of the Dabar Yahweh, he had been snatched out of his normal occupation and placed into the prophetic role. The people of the land chose to continue on in self-deception. This is where they wanted to be. They had been lulled into sleep through their wantonness and their luxury. Their nervous systems chose Eve over evidence of where this would lead them to be. Amos saw words. The word of God would not leave the land. The word of God had gone forth. The Dabar Yahweh, the word of Yahweh, which Amos saw, was doing its work. The work that it was chosen to do by Yahweh. Notice what the word of God says to Amos in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 7. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. Will not the land tremble for this? And all who live in it mourn. God is talking about professed believers. The whole land will rise like the Nile. It will be stirred up and then sink like the river of Egypt. Now, the Hebrew word is regaz, the land will tremble. The land will tremble that is under the weight of judgment. The earth will quake, and all the inhabitants will mourn. Observe that the whole earth is represented as being turned into a sea, heaving and falling in a tempestuous manner. The totality of the earth, the entire globe, will rise and swell like waters lashed into a storm. God will do this. God will do this because the professing ones, or those who profess to know him, have gone the way of apostasy. They have chosen to do this in spite of the evidence. The evidence is most compelling and chilling, but it is not what they want in their lives. They have rejected the word of God through decisive apathy. It is important that we understand that when the word of God goes forth, then there is a responsibility. There is an opportunity given to choose God's side or to remain in a state of intentional apathy. Please note that it is an act of the will. It is a choice. Yes, one may say, I am ignorant, or that too is ignorance does not excuse culpability. And so there's nowhere to run nor hide. The opportunity, however, to get right with God. Notice verse 11. Well, let me start with verse 9. In that day, declares the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your religious feast into mourning, and all your singing into weeping. I will make your sackcloth and shave your head. I will make that time like mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Beloved, let me say that today we have a unique opportunity to get our lives right with God and to live lives that are worthy in his sight. I am Dr. Josiah Rich. Next time, we will take up. You have a wonderful day. God bless you. I will talk to you soon.